One of my favorite movie scenes is a scene in Back to the Future. Now, I'm sure all of you have seen this film. It's a very, very good film. And this is when Marty has traveled back into the past, and he's going to meet with the professor, the mad scientist. And the mad scientist who invented the time machine that transported him back into time doesn't know in the future that he is going to develop this machine. And Marty's there as a result of this machine, so he's going to go meet the professor so that he can have help trying to get back to the future where he's from. So he knocks on the professor's door, and the professor comes out, all disheveled in a white lab coat, and he says, "Don't say anything." And he puts his contraption on his head, and he says, "I'm going to try to read your mind. Don't tell me anything." And then he proceeds to try to read his mind, and it's a hilarious scene. I'm sure you've all seen it. Well, I want you to imagine a scene very similar to this. And this is a mad scientist with the disheveled hair again and the lab coat on. And he leads you down into his workshop. Same type of scenario. His workshop is located in the basement. There's a very big, heavy stainless steel chair sitting in a big steel-covered bowl. And above the chair, there's like an aurora of lights glowing and flashing. Very supernatural look to it. He explains that he has just discovered the secret to time travel, and that he says that with a few flips of a few dials and the twistings of a few knobs, he's going to send you into the future, into your future. You'll be able to see what your future is like. Would you like to see what your future holds for you? I think most people would. Of course, I would like to know what my future holds. Some things, some of you I'm sure would like to also. Well, today what we're going to do in this sermonette is we're going to look at a very important principle. And that is that what you do today affects what you will be doing tomorrow and in the future. This is a principle that most people, especially young people, ignore. And that is because society tells them that you should just live for today. So what we're going to do today is we're going to come to see the principle that what you do today is going to affect your future tomorrow. And that's a very biblical decision. So point number one, your future destiny. Remember that scene where he says, "You're my density"? Your future destiny is decided by decisions you make today. I can tell you, and you can probably tell yourself if you look real closely, what your future holds because of what you're doing today. Very easy to see what's going on in your future if you look at what you're doing today. Let's go to Proverbs, and we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 6. And this principle underlies this proverb. It's a very, very common proverb. We've all heard it in different ways and different formats. But it's a Proverb 6, and it begins to read in verse 6. It says, "Go to the ant, you lazy person." That's what a sluggard is. You ever seen a slug? A slug moves very, very slow. You ever seen somebody that moves slow? That's what it's saying here. "Go to the ant, you slow-moving person, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." So take a look at the ant and learn something. What can we learn by looking at ants? "Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard?" You know, there's people that are lazy. They don't do anything. And it's saying here to those people, how long are you going to sleep? "When will you rise from your sleep?" You can just imagine them in bed. Oh, just a few more hours of sleep, and then maybe I'll get up. "When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber," verse 10, "a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." So consider the ant. The ant is fed in the winter because he gathers in the summer. Now, if you had a lazy ant, there were such things as lazy ants, these lazy ants would just sleep the summer away, would be idle the whole summer. And then what would happen is they would not get fed in the winter. The word sluggard is an old English word. It comes from the word mud. Or to walk slowly, like, you know, you're walking in mud. You know, plot, plot, plot. Slow-moving, shell-less snail is what a sluggard is. So the Bible here tells us that the ant, we can predict the future of the ant in the winter. The ant is going to eat in the winter because it is prepared in the summer. So my first point is encapsulated by this principle here. And that is that your future destiny is decided by the decisions you make today. I can tell you, and you can probably tell yourself if you look in the mirror, what tomorrow is going to be like. And what next month is going to be like. And what the year after that's going to be like. Because you're looking at what you're doing today. I can do that in my life. I can tell you what I'll be doing in 2 weeks. Because I'm doing something today, good or bad, that's going to affect what I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks. Second point. The effect of your decisions, whatever they are, good or bad, the effect of your decisions multiplies with time. You know, you've got a number, and then you square it, geometric progression. Your decisions are like that. Not only are your decisions going to affect your future, but the decisions you do today are going to have a multiplying effect on your future. We can phrase it another way. Small decisions today can have big consequences later. Small decisions today can have big consequences later. Let's look at some decisions you may have made when you were younger. Your parents tell you that your friends will get you into trouble. You party with them. You don't study. You flunk out of a couple of college courses. You drop out of college. You don't graduate. That fantastic job you wanted, you don't get it. You know why? Because what you did in the past is affecting what is in the present. Another example. You're not very careful with the kind of people you date. So you end up with a spouse you shouldn't have, and it affects your whole life. It could also be that you marry the right woman, and it affects your life in a positive way. I mean, we're not talking about negatives also. We're talking about positives. Now, those are decisions that some people make, but us older people, we're not exempt from that. Let's look at some decisions that you can make when you're older. You don't follow the commandment about coveting, so you buy things that you don't need. You try to keep up with the Joneses, and you end up with lots of debt. That's a decision that lots of mature people make. Another one is you don't treat people very well. You're kind of harsh. You're abusive. You're hard to get along with. And you end up with no friends, feeling lonely and dejected in your old age. All of that being caused by the decisions you make today. Now, there are good decisions that you can make as you're older. You know, you saved up money. So now you have a nest egg when you retire. So there's good ways of looking at this and bad ways of looking at this. But the second point is the effect of your decisions multiplies with time. Not only is the decision you make today, whether it's to open your Bible or to watch that rerun of Oprah, we make decisions every day, or whether you're going to go out and take a walk, or whether you're going to just sit on the couch, all of those decisions are going to affect your future, and they're going to multiply with time. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39 for this principle about how time kind of multiplies the effect of our decisions. Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 3. Notice how the decisions that Joseph made affected his life, his career. It affected his life. It also affected the lives of his family. It affected the lives of his father. Remember, they came over to Egypt later. Genesis chapter 39, verse 3. And his master, you know, Joseph's been sold into slavery. His master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all that Joseph did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So the master put Joseph over everything. You're such a good person. I'm going to put you in charge of all things, everything. So it was from time to time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. You know, Joseph's decisions not only affected him, but it affected the master that owned Joseph. It affected the field. It affected the workers that worked in the field. It affected the prophets he had. Verse 6, but it doesn't end there. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. The only thing that the master was worried about and really concerned about is, are we eating steaks today or chicken or fish? That was about the extent of what he wanted to know about his about what was going on in his household. Because everything else Joseph took care of. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. She tried to seduce him. Now, nowadays, if you lived in today's society, if it feels good, do it. I mean, it would have, you know, they'd have had a movie about Joseph being made today. He'd have jumped into bed with her in 10 seconds. But that's not what this Bible says. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he's committed all that he has into my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. The reason I can't have you is because you're his wife. Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So Joseph rebuffed her. Said, no, I'm not going to do this. Joseph had to make a decision. He could have said, yeah, that's a great idea. Who's going to know? It's just me and you in the house. Or he could have said, no, that's not right. Not going to do that. So it was as he spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or be with her. And then we all know the rest of the story. He gets thrown into prison. And because of the decision he made, the nation of Israel was saved from famine and all the things that happened. The decision he made that day was multiplied later on when his family was saved. Because he was now the head of all of Egypt, under Pharaoh. Joseph's decision, that one little decision, do I jump in bed with my master's wife, or do I do what I'm supposed to, affected his future and the future of all of his family. Third point, some decisions are just plain wrong. Some decisions are just wrong. There really should be a no-brainer, a no decision. This society teaches us that all decisions can be good or bad depending on the situation. Well, it depends. Should I go to sleep with my master's wife? It depends on how things are and how do you feel about it. And let's examine this. Let's have a talk show about it and let's discuss it back and forth. No, brethren, some things are just plain wrong. Some decisions are wrong. God says some decisions are wrong. God calls them sin. Sometimes the consequences are immediate, and sometimes they're not evident for a long, long time after they've been made. How many wives or husbands, how many children have been surprised when they're 30 and they find out that they have a brother who shows up at the door from something that happened a long, long time ago? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. This is a verse that I covered last week in our seminar. Verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error which was due. There is a penalty for having this kind of lifestyle. And they suffered from it. And that happens. Avoid sin. And your life will be free from many unpleasant consequences. Things like adultery, you need to avoid it. Mistrust, avoid that. Deceit is not going to be part of your makeup because you're going to be clean and have a good conscience. You're not going to have emotional trauma when the consequences of your sins come back to you. So you want to see your future, brethren? It's very easy to see your future. Very easy. What are you doing today? What are you doing today? Whatever you're doing today is going to affect your tomorrow and the day after that. You have the opportunity tomorrow to pick up your Bible and to study it. Or you have the opportunity tomorrow to squander your time and not do anything. You have the opportunity tomorrow to do a lot of positive things. You have the opportunity tomorrow to just kind of go with the flow. It's up to you. You don't need a mad scientist, you know, with that silver bowl, you know, and a chair and the lights flashing. You don't need all of that to see what your future's like. You know what you need to do? Look in the pages of this book here. This book will tell you what your future is like. It's the most advanced time machine ever developed. If you sit at the controls of the Bible and you let it guide you, you will be able to see your future. A future based on good decisions. A future that's filled with joy and the blessings from God.